Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 13th. Joining us this morning, kind of, sort of, is Humboldt County District Attorney all the time, Maggie Fleming. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. You know, I did have a can of water here for you.
Well, just, thank you, Brian.
Just in case.
I still prefer calling in, just given what, you know, what we're seeing. And, of course, you know, I'm here every day at the courthouse, so it's kind of a high exposure place, so we're trying to be careful.
Oh, I thought it was the highlight of your day. I'm sorry.
Of course you are, Brian.
Yeah. I drove by this morning on the way in, just I like taking different ways. I was kind of late, so it was only about half of an hour ago. Boy, there's nobody in the parking lot. There's nobody parking on the street around the courthouse. I don't know
right.
what it's like in the middle of the day, because I don't tend to get out that much during the day, but it ghost town Sunday morning. I mean, it looked like that. Is that kind of what the new norm is around the courthouse?
Well, we're still not, you know, we've summoned jurors, but we have not yet tried a jury trial. And that does obviously have the biggest impact when you look at parking around the courthouse, because when we bring in, you know, 60 or 80 people first thing in the morning, you really see the effects of it. But my office is fully staffed. Everyone's here. The second floor is very quiet. It's like a ghost town on the second floor. We are still predominantly using Zoom to handle most of the court proceedings in an effort to try to reduce everybody's exposure and for victims and witnesses and defendants to have reduced exposure.
Okay. Well, that kind of makes sense. I'm glad I don't have the parking commission.
That's right.
That would really be disappointing right now. Winston, why do we say it?
Why do we say something worthwhile is not to be sneezed at?
Any idea on that one, Maggie?
Oh, I thought that was yours. I'll take the next one, Brian. Yeah, the next one will be mine. I thought we were alternating.
Okay.
I mean, sneezed at is just one of those things that, you know, I think the idea is it's like, you're ignoring it, or I don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're expelling or getting rid of.
Yeah.
So it's an idea not to get rid of, but an idea to consider.
Oh, well, Maggie was in the ballpark, appropriate with today being the Field of Dreams game. If a statement seems worthless, you may not bother to reply. You may merely make the sound of a sneeze, as we try to write it. Something worthwhile, however, is not to be sneezed at.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Okay, well, at least they didn't say snort. Nothing to snort at. Then we'd all have to sound like snorting. See what you missed by not coming out here? All this witty repartee during the breaks also. Oh, gee. So no jury trials yet, huh?
We've had two, you know, sort of set. One went court trial, one did not proceed. So we are, you know, like I say, I know a lot of people in the community were summoned, but as of now, we still haven't actually brought them in for the process. So we're still working towards that goal. We need to do it. You know, we need to start moving our cases, but right now it's not happening. And then, of course, you know, the difficulty is, for example, in a homicide, we're not letting the public in the courtroom. Well, that's really difficult for the survivors. You know, part of what they have waited for a couple of years is to actually come in and sit in a courtroom when the trial, you know, moves forward. And so we've had a couple of folks say, I don't really want to do it now if that means I can't be there and see the proceedings. So,
That's interesting. Yeah. Can you just get a couple of cameras? And just set them up there?
We have cameras, Brian, but it's
yeah, I know it's different.
For example, we have a case, very, very, very significant embezzlement case. And the person's pled guilty. The victim wants to be in the courtroom for sentencing. They want to be there to speak their piece to the defendant. And to say, oh, we're going to have you appear by Zoom, it's not the same experience. And they said, I want to be in the courtroom. And I understand that. You know, it's sort of how people perceive the process and what they want.
Well,
we're being very careful of victims' rights.
If you had a courtroom and had a microphone back by the doors and you had everybody else on the other side of the jump wall there, couldn't they be there and get their 2 cents worth, so to speak?
And
move on? I mean, there's plenty of space for that to occur.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we've said to the courts, and that is the direction we're going to be going shortly. But up until now, they have limited how many people can come on the second floor, and so they were not allowing us to bring our victims for sentencing hearings. But I understand the judges have heard our concerns, and we're going to be doing that now, sort of by invitation. In other words, we'll say this is a case where the victim wants to be present. They'll say, you know, on Tuesday, that person will be allowed to come into the courtroom at 8:30 in the morning.
That's interesting that they're limiting the second floor. I didn't even think that was a possible. Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that common throughout the state? Are a lot of courthouses restricting to that extent?
Not that I know of. I've talked to a lot of DAs about some have already proceeded with jury trials, which is obviously, you know, a very strange experience when you have jurors sort of sprinkled throughout the audience area because you have to have 6 feet between them. And a lot of courts have set up plastic screens between the seats. So there's quite a lot of changes. But so what I've heard so far is that people are bringing more and more of the public into the courts.
Just kind of having the time to figure out what it is that they need to do to accommodate.
Right. And to make jurors and members of the public feel safe as well, you know, because what we don't want to do is tell people, here's your summons, you have to come, but at the same time, not have set it up so that they feel safe. You know, I think that's very tough for people who have sheltered in place now for months to say, okay, now come to the courthouse, you know, is really a big step.
Well, yeah, depending on where you are on the threshold or the willingness threshold for exposure.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's a new question that has to be asked during the discovery for jurors.
Yes.
How comfortable do you feel or not feel?
Right.
In this kind of a scenario, because I obviously it's going to cut down your potential pool, but it at least will get you some people that are in a position to be able to do something, you know, and serve.
And we've had some defense attorneys say, you know, I'm not comfortable doing it for two reasons. One is, you know, some of them are older or they have, you know, health issues, so they don't want to be doing it. But the other is the concern of if everybody's wearing a mask, how do we really evaluate information responses? You know, of what we get is facial cues.
And we'll take it from there when we come back. It's 8:19.
Okay.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, with some of the different elements or aspects of your day-to-day activities, we've talked in the past about bringing experts in and needing to do research, and you've got the investigators that are out and about and seeing and doing and touching and feeling. How has that changed the day-to-day? Are you able to do some of those jobs, or is the staff able to do some of those job functions that really need to be done in order to have as much confidence as you can in charging a case or not charging a case?
We have been, you know, we're really observing social distancing. So when we bring people, you know, originally the courthouse was closed and that was very difficult for us because we were trying to, you know, still operate here, but understanding only staff was able to get in and out of the building. But with time passing, we've been able, you know, the courthouse is now open to the public, although obviously the second floor is restricted. So So we're very lucky. We have a very large conference room, so you know, we're able to bring victims and witnesses in there, sit far apart, everybody wears a mask, and we're able to continue with the same processes we'd used before, interviewing people, finding, you know, additional information out, those sorts of things. And then there, you know, for all the businesses that are open, our investigators are still able to go out and collect the video surveillance and records and things like that. So we're still able to operate. The biggest, you know, hurdle right now is that our courts, with the restrictions and with the limited number that we're doing, we're sort of losing ground as far as the timing of our cases. We've had a number that we've had to continue, and then, you know, as I mentioned before, we have some defense attorneys who simply say, I can't do it. So those cases are being pushed out now to January and February. So obviously that's a huge problem that we're going to have to address, but we're still operating at full capacity.
When you say the defense attorneys, there are just individuals that don't feel comfortable around folks yet, or they're having a tough time getting their cases or their defenses put together to the point where they are able then to present it in court?
So it's sort of a two-part, you know, issue for some defense attorneys. One is some are, you know, they're concerned health-wise about proceeding. But for others, it's the issue of they're not certain jurors arriving in masks, you know, having your client sit 6 feet away from you, things like that are really conducive to the process that they want to be sure their client receives. So we're, you know, obviously if people waive time, we're moving cases out. We do have a significant number of cases that are time not waived, so we have to proceed. And those are the ones that we're making a priority, but that's sort of the issue.
With the separation, I don't know if plexiglass is a medium that carries sound or not, but couldn't you, you know, on the defense table, so to speak, have two or three separations, you know, or one for each chair kind of thing, so they could be physically close to one another, and if they are whispering, it would still go through the separation medium?
Well, we looked at that. I mean, it is kind of tricky when, you know, you sort of visualize what you see on TV, right? The person leans over and whispers to their attorney. That's sort of impossible with plexiglass.
Right.
So what we've talked about is that we would just have to take more short breaks, you know, where they would get up and go into basically, there's a number of little rooms off of the courtrooms. They could just go back there and basically have their conference sort of out of the presence of everyone. We're trying to figure, you know, ways to solve that. The interpreters use headphones and, you know, little microphones. And so that was one thing we discussed. You know, I mean, there are options. But again, it's, you know, everything's kind of different and not how we've always done things. And so that's sort of the adjustment that we're trying to make sure everybody's rights are protected, that the process stays as true to what, you know, we've always tried to do, but at the same time, start moving our cases. We've got to start getting some of these tried.
Now, the criminal justice system is not known for being particularly inventive and creative. Is there an interest in trying to embrace the new stuff, or are you running into a lot of the inertia-related responses? Well, you know, nobody else is doing that. We have never done that before. We'll have to shoot that one up the ladder. Instead of, yeah, okay, that's something we can take a shot at. Let's see if we can get that to work and everybody to feel comfortable with.
I think we're getting more like that, and in part, it's just because it's taken so long. You know, I think when this all first started, you know, realistically, we were okay, we'll set our trials for the summer. You know, it's like by then, certainly, we're going to be open. And now that we're, you know, 6 months in, people are saying, okay, what's door number two? How are we going to do this, understanding things are never going to be the way they used to be again?
Well, and not being able to anticipate what the state is going to do or change the rules or... You know, does
right.
6 feet become 4 feet or
right.
6 inches like it does for the airline industry? Okay.
Right.
different approaches, but time will tell. Speaking of time, it's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County's DA, Maggie Fleming. Talk shop presented by Baywood, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, CDH Painting, Redeck, and Murphy's Markets. Maggie, with some of this activity that's going on, sometimes we kind of get locked into processes. But there's got to be some victories that need to be celebrated also and some accomplishments just to kind of keep the morale of the team kind of upbeat instead of just saying, okay, we got more backlog today than we had yesterday. Isn't this fun? What are some of the successes or the excitement points for the last little bit that may have been overlooked by the general community?
Oh, thank you, Brian. This is the good news part of the program, isn't it? The fifth floor of the courthouse, for those who have driven by and seen all the construction that's been going on for many, many months. In January of 2015, when I came back, I met with Kelly Sanders, the elections county recorder, because they have half of the fifth floor. And the other half was going to be, I believe, elections at some point, but it's pretty much impossible to get the equipment up and down with, you know, the elevators we have here. So they ended up, they're now out at that space. You know, as you go 101, as you leave Eureka out there at the plaza, which is great for them because it's ground floor access. So the half of the fifth floor was going to be empty. And so I approached her and said, could we possibly have that? Because we really need to bring our victim witness division back into the building, and we would really like to bring CAST into the building. And she agreed. And it's taken, you know, obviously now almost 5.5 years, almost 6 years, to finally get everything going, the construction going. The amazing part is when you look up at the fifth floor on the Fifth Street side, there used to be a lot of those metal louvers because that was the air intake, and they had to move all of that off there out onto the roof in order to enclose that side of the building with windows so that we could have offices there. But we're almost done. We are almost completed. And so the CAST, the Child Abuse Services Team Center, as well as the entire victim witness division, will all now be on the fifth floor, so just one short flight of stairs away from this office. And we've really, you know, you learn so much when you go through the process. We've had CAST now for 26 years, and one of the big issues we learned, of course, is the interview room. You know, it's a nice little room for kids to sit and play and be interviewed, and it's microphoned. But the walls are thin where it currently is. And so when mom's out in the waiting room with the other siblings, or, you know, if it's a legal guardian or a foster care parent with the other children, you know, there can be a lot of noise. And it's hard to keep the child focused when they can hear outside laughing and playing and everything. And so we brought in special technicians who have really soundproofed the room and made it much better. And so it's going to be just a great facility. And so this week we had the National Children's Alliance here via Zoom. Every 5 years we go through the national reaccreditation process, and they were here and they were so impressed. And they said this really shows, you know, they were impressed, first of all, by our ongoing collaboration. We have Department of Health and Human Services. We have law enforcement. We have a number of nonprofits that provide services. We have the tribal social services. Everyone comes together on these cases. And they're impressed by that, but they were also really impressed that, you know, Humboldt County is putting all of these resources into building this facility. And they just thought that was fantastic that, you know, we're making this a priority, and particularly given the time that we're in, that this is something we're doing. So hopefully, I'm going to say, you know, fingers crossed, next couple of weeks it will be completed, and then we'll definitely do a press release and put out pictures so people can see how amazing it is.
Oh, that's right. You get a save on not having to offer food, huh? No tours.
It's not like the grand opening we had originally predicted we would have. I mean, you know, seriously, we were thinking about how many people we could bring in and show, and obviously we've had to reduce that. But it's really been great, Brian. There was that time period where we had to stop when COVID first hit, so, you know, all of March, part of April. And then, obviously, a lot of things are slower in arriving, you know, because they're coming from other places in the nation, and there's been those delays. But our local contractors, the workers, I'll see them here, you know, at night when I'm leaving, they're arriving because they're working nights, so they don't make so much noise. And then, of course, they're here on weekends. This past weekend, we had no power in the entire building because, you know, they're doing so much work. And it's just, it's really been phenomenal. And it's just going to be a really nice state-of-the-art place.
So it's kind of like you guys are having your house built. You go away to work and you come back and there's progress. Now it's just happening at nighttime and you get to put on your hard hat and walk around and give the attaboys. That kind of stuff is got to be invigorating for the entire staff, whether they're dealing with the kids or the abuse situations, or if their areas are entirely different, just to see that going on as part of the overall, it's got to be kind of a nice little bump for them.
It is, and for our victim witness division, they had to move out of their office that they'd been in for over two decades a couple of months ago because of some problems at that facility. But so we have a number of them here in cubicles, which, you know, is obviously something we have to really watch out for, because this is when we were trying to have more space between all the work, because we have over 60 employees, more space between everyone. And then, you know, we ended up bringing in more people. So it's also going to be wonderful for them to get back to having, you know, an actual office where they can, you know, spread out and do their work and have their files and everything else. So it's really, really going to be great.
And you're hoping within a couple of weeks that it'll be occupied.
Well, we were, our last absolute final date was August 10th, which, for those of us who have calendars, know that was Monday. So that day passed, but we are so, you know, every day when I pull in, I look up and the windows aren't quite there. It turned out there was a little problem with the windows. And so, you know how it is. It's one thing after another, but we are so close. And it's funny because anyone who's gone through a house remodel knows, you know, people say, okay, October 1st, and it's okay, November 1st. And then you start thinking, I just want to have my kitchen done by Christmas.
Right, right. You know? Well, and we forget to ask what's your year.
it's just crazy, you know, because they are working so hard, but there's the delays, you know, in part due to COVID with equipment and items coming from all over.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, the concept of little celebrations, is that something that you're able to do now as this process has kind of been more convoluted and trying to get to trial, trying to get trials through, trying to get jurors? I mean, I would think if you could seat a jury, that would be enough to have a pizza party, just because it's so rare and so difficult.
Exactly, Ryan. I'll keep that in mind. You know, we do. We do try to, and of course, we also just celebrate, you know, personal events that we all share here. So we do try. We used to be able to bring in, you know, a lot more food and stuff. So now sometimes for one event, I know I went to Ramon's and said, can you individually wrap the cookies? You know, so it's just kind of, we're doing our best here. And it is important, you know, just like any other tough time people go through, it's important to recognize it and to know that it's the little things that sometimes really help you muster up the strength to take it on another day.
Yeah. So what do you, other than the fifth floor opening, is there anything else that is going to be more significant than the courts kind of starting to begin chugging along and getting these cases through?
Well, not at the moment, but the fifth floor is a big deal to us, Brent, when you say other than the fifth floor.
Well,
this is something we've been working on for over 5 years. So
I got that part, but it's, you know, in two weeks when you're there. Okay, now what?
We're going to love it.
Yeah, everybody's going to be taking their lunches on the fifth floor. Okay, fine.
Exactly. We're going to savor that one for at least 4 or 5 months. So next month when you say, what's the victory, I'm going to go fifth floor.
Yeah. All of a sudden, everybody's going to be putting in requests for cots so they don't have to go home, huh?
That's right.
Well, hopefully the new carpet smell will make it down to the fourth floor, so at least you'll be able to get some additional benefit other than having more space back.
That's right, Brian. That's what we'll hope for.
All right. Well, at least I can hear you smiling as you're talking, so we end on a positive note.
Thank you, Brian. It's always enjoyable to come talk with you.
Thanks for your time this morning. Talk to you in a bit.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. See everybody tomorrow morning.